Welcome to the Better Workday podcast, hosted by Niamh Moynihan. Each week, Niamh shares tips, tricks, and insights to help you have a better workday. I often struggle to get through my to-do list. I can't stay focused and time just gets away from me, or I end up disappearing down a rabbit hole and not actually getting anything finished. I've searched online for different time management techniques, and I found something called Pomodoro. Niamh, can you explain what the Pomodoro technique is and how I might be able to use it to get through all of these tasks?
Hello, hello. How are you doing? Today we are going to be talking about one of the productivity tools that some people use to manage their time, and it's called the Pomodoro technique. But before we get into the episode, I just thought I'd check in with you because we are now on episode 5 of the Better Workday podcast. And I must say, I'm really enjoying it. I wasn't sure, you know, how I'd feel about me being the one recording the podcasts because I enjoy listening to them so much. I wasn't sure if I was more a listener than a podcaster, but I am happy to say that I've been proven wrong. And of all the types of media or different ways of sharing information I've done to date, this is fast becoming my favorite. But it's interesting that when I'm preparing for these podcasts, that I'm trying all these different ways of planning in terms of how do I lay out the content and how do I create my show notes. And I thought, just because we talk about productivity and how we do our work here, it'd be good for me to share this. So in the beginning, I tried to write out an entire script that was for episode 1, and I recorded it and it sounded awful. Well, it didn't sound awful. It sounded fine, but it didn't sound like me. It sounded like a textbook. And then I decided to go for no notes, which was almost as bad because the episode recording sounded okay, but I was like, oh my God, I forgot all these things that I wanted to share with people. Then I thought I'd get the help of AI. And I don't mean ChatGPT. What I mean is I have a Niamh clone, is what I call it, where I can upload all my content. So all of the training I've ever delivered, all my PDFs, all my presentations, all my blog posts, everything that I've ever written or recorded. And it kind of acts like an intelligent search engine that if I put in a question such as, I don't know, how do you recognize signs of burnout? It will return my content to me, and it's a phenomenal time saver. But I decided I'd use that as my podcast prep, and it was an improvement, but still it just felt, well, it felt regurgitated because it was. So for the next few episodes, I'm gone back to my old reliable. This is actually how I plan any new workshop or webinar. And that is a blank piece of paper and my Sharpies, 4 or 5 different colors. And I just jot down some basic notes to guide the conversation and we go from there. So it's funny that, you know, I'm a big believer that most people learn by doing. And while at the beginning, I would have thought that I wanted to have everything as prepped as possible, I'm quickly finding that a slightly more, see how I go or see how I get along approach is serving me better. And I think that's probably just because of the style of a lot of podcasts, that we want it to be more of a conversation and less of a script. So with that update in mind, let's get into the topic for today, which is the Pomodoro technique. And this is actually a time management technique that is based on a kitchen timer. If you use the technique, what you do is you spend 25 minutes working and then you take a 5-minute break. And I did that just before recording this. So I spent 25 minutes sketching out my notes for this episode and the next 2 episodes. Then I took a bit of a break and here I am. And there are so many uses for this technique, especially if you work in a busy workplace, in corporate or in another sector, and you work in teams and you've got lots of meetings or lots of other things in your day. If you feel like you don't have a lot of space in your calendar, taking advantage of a few short blocks of time, 25 minutes with a 5-minute break, can be really, really helpful. So what are some of the situations that it's good for? I've made a list and here they are. So the first is email and your inbox. And what I mean by this is quite often we dip in and out of our email or our inbox a lot during the day, a lot more than you think. And it can feel like we're always in there. But to actually spend a decent amount of time in there, such as 25 minutes, would mean that you actually probably get more conversations finished, you get more loose ends tied up, and you get more stuff done. So you're less likely then to go back into it as quickly, unless, of course, your job is to monitor an inbox. So spending 25 minutes really in email mode or in inbox mode can be a great use of this time. Another one which I love is what I call the slow brain checklist. So let me take a step back and explain what this is. Everybody has deep work, which requires a huge amount of concentration, focus, and really draws on your experience and your expertise to do. And then we have shallow work, which is very, very easy, very light on our brains. We can do it almost, you know, on autopilot. And sometimes it can be quite boring. And then, of course, there's a range of work in between. So I recommend people create a slow brain checklist, which is the work that they find really boring or really tedious. And they make a list of it so that if they're ever feeling like you've got low energy or you just have got some time to fill before another meeting or something, you don't want to get into some work, that you can take out this checklist and tick some of those things off your list. The kind of things that go on a slow brain checklist are expenses. That's always the top one. So expense reports, expenses, uploading receipts. That's a perfect example of a slow brain checklist. Updating your hours if you have to record your working hours is another example. Running a scheduled report that you have to run every single week. Those kind of things. Stuff that's very, very easy. And a block of 25 minutes is perfect to make progress on a lot of that stuff. The third thing that you could do is you could tidy up loose ends on tasks. So here's something that you might not know. If you get distracted or interrupted at work, it's more likely that you go back to other things before you go back to the tasks that you're working on. So let's say, for example, I started recording this podcast and maybe my dog started barking. Well, it's more likely that I will go do two or three other things, maybe load up the washing machine, put on the dinner or check my email before coming around to getting back to recording the podcast. And this happens in every area of our work, and I'm probably guessing in our lives as well. And it's why sometimes you feel like you've got loads of open tasks on your list and you're always adding to the to-do list and never getting things off it. So if you have a chunk of 25 minutes in between meetings or at the end of the day, it can be a really good time to say, well, I'm going to tidy up as many loose ends as I can. I'm not going to start anything new. I'm going to focus on finishing. And not only does that shorten the to-do list, which is great, but it also gives you that great sense of achievement or accomplishment that goes with it. Now, on the other side, you could also use this time to explore a new task. So when it comes to procrastination, so I'm hopping over topics here now, but that just shows you how versatile this block of time can be. If we procrastinate, a lot of the reasons that we do it is we're unsure. There's uncertainty around if we can do the work, if we need help, if we have all the knowledge or skills that we need, if we have all the support that's needed. We just don't know. There's so many unknowns. You don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know if it's going to be good enough when you finish it. Like, there's so much uncertainty that you're better off just not doing it all, Or that's what our brain says. But what if I asked you to spend 25 minutes exploring the thing that you've been putting off? So I don't want you to commit to delivering anything great. You don't have to produce a first draft or a first milestone or even a task complete. It's just for exploration. And the purpose is for you to get under the hood and see what's involved in the work. So you can see how much you know and how much you don't know, what support you need, what questions you need to ask. And I find this is a great use of 25 minutes because not only does it make you start something that you've been procrastinating on, it also helps you better identify what support you need and how much time you're going to need to do the work. And finally, it's really good if you have short time tasks. So for example, if you have to run a report and you know it won't take you longer than 20, 25 minutes, it's really good to put it into these blocks. Now, it's not good for deep work that needs more time to benefit from an uninterrupted train of work. Now notice there I didn't say uninterrupted train of thought because our mind can wander, but there are some tasks that you want to have a clear run of more than 25 minutes to be able to do it properly. Going back to the report example, you might be able to run a report in less than 25 minutes, but you might not be able to analyze it in 25 minutes. You might need longer to do that, and start stopping that kind of task might make it more difficult and take longer to complete than if you had a clear run of time. Now, in that case, by the way, I recommend the Hour of Power, which is my alternative to the Pomodoro technique. And that's where you work for 60 minutes uninterrupted time and then take a break after that. Now, what's interesting about the Pomodoro technique is that it's most effective if you decide in advance what you will do. And I don't mean you have to sit down on a Sunday and try and plan out all your 25 minute chunks. But even in the morning, if you take a look at your schedule and you see you have a few blocks of time, you could do it there or even after lunch. And also, if you feel like you are low energy in a day or you're low motivated, even if you don't have a lot of meetings or a lot of other things booked in, you can always break the day down into maybe 3 or 4 sprints of 25 minutes. But I must say that the 5-minute break in between is not a replacement for your main break. Okay, so you can't spend the whole day, 25 minutes work, 5 minutes break, repeat, repeat, repeat. Because although the studies have shown that a 5-minute break is good for regaining your focus and helping you pay attention to the task when you return to it, it's not good for restoring your energy. So if you try to work with only short breaks, you're going to end up feeling tired, feeling maybe overwhelmed. You're not going to be as creative. You're not going to be able to do your best work. So this is not a replacement for your proper break. I'm going to say it again. This is not a replacement for your proper break. You do need to take a break. But what you could do is flip the Pomodoro technique and use it as a tool for rest. So what I mean is take 25 minutes to have your break, and the last 5 minutes to decide what you're going to work on when you return to work. And the reason this can be very, very helpful in your day is because so often when we come back from our lunch break and sit down at the desk, we respond to whatever is on the screen. So that's either what you were working on before you went for your break, or what's popped up in terms of email or Teams messages or Slack messages or whatever. So we're automatically on the back foot responding. But if you take just a couple of minutes at the end of your break to close your eyes or look out the window or look basically anywhere except at your screen and decide, what am I going to work on next? What do I need to focus on for this next portion of the day? It can really, really help. So I'm a big fan of flipping the Pomodoro technique and using it as a good break as well. Now, some people ask me, you know, is the Pomodoro technique essential in terms of having a good work day? Is it one of the secrets to success in terms of productivity? And I would say, look, it really depends on your style of working. Some people do benefit from chunking the day down into 25-minute blocks, especially if you have a lot of meetings that seem to fill up the day and you can't see an hour together. Breaking it down into these blocks can show you where you can get the work done more easily. But on the other hand, I would say that some people find it quite disconnecting to break down their work into such short chunks of time. And in that case, working for 60 minutes before taking a break or even 90 minutes before taking a break is better. For me, honestly, it depends on the kind of work that I'm doing and how much energy I have, how much work I had done the day before, what's coming up the day after, and a whole host of different things. Basically, what my attention feels like and how much energy I have. So I would say it's good when it is a good fit for your week, but it shouldn't be used just for the sake of using it. And that's the same for every single tool or idea that I share. Use it when it makes sense for you. I don't think that anyone should feel under pressure to use all the tools and tricks and then hope that they create, you know, the most successful week for you. They only work for you if they work for you. Okay, so with all that in mind, I'm going to give you a teaser on next week because I am excited about it, and also because I'm batch tasking, so I'm recording it next. And I'm going to be talking about your email and your inbox and how to get a handle on it. So if your inbox feels like it's out of control, I am going to be talking about that here in just a moment, but for you next week. I hope you found this episode helpful. I certainly love sharing these types of ideas. As always, if you have any questions or feedback, I would love to hear them. Until next time, stay well and have a better workday.
Thank you for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed this episode. The Better Workday podcast is about helping you have a better workday. So we'd love to hear your thoughts and questions. You can find our social media details as well as any references from this episode in the show notes.